Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys today?
Woo! I'm doing great because I'm talking to the guy that co-created one of my favorite cartoons of all time, or characters of all time, really. I was introduced to the Ninja Turtles from the 80s cartoons. I didn't know they were comic books beforehand. And I started kind of going through the history of the Ninja Turtles and kind of how this whole thing started. And I think the story of how it got started is probably more interesting than any adventure the Turtles have ever been on. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Well, it was certainly a pretty incredible adventure for us that we're still, you know, we still pinch ourselves. So it's just mind-blowingly crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the beginning for a second. So you guys were, first off, the idea that you had turtles that were teenagers and also happened to be ninjas. Where did that come from?
One of the original sparks is I recall clearly, and it was it kind of started as a joke where I wanted to make Peter laugh. I was a huge fan of Bruce Lee, and back in those days, and still am. I was thinking, if Bruce Lee was an animal, what would be the stupidest animal? fast moving martial artist, slow moving turtle. It was really kind of a natural joke, and I did this sketch, turtle standing upright, having those classic Bruce Lee nunchucks strapped to his arms, and he had this mask on to hide his identity. Ha ha ha! And I put it on a piece of desk, and I said, "This is going to be the next big thing." Again, with a big laugh behind it. The result was exactly what I hoped. Peter got a big chuckle out of it. Did his own version, changed a few things, and studio one-upmanship. I thought I'd top his drawing and say, well, if there's one, why don't we have a group of them, like, you know, X-Men or Avengers or something. And
right.
So I did this pencil sketch of four turtles, all with different weapons, and had kind of roughed in this comic book logo that said Ninja Turtles. And then when Pete inked it in, he added Teenage Mutant to the title. We just thought this was the funniest / dumbest thing we'd ever seen in our lives. And we had to come up with a story that told how they got to be those characters. And that started back in 1983.
And then you self-published this comic, right? Did you try to shop it around, and then did you decide, hey, we're just going to do this on our own?
Yeah, no. With the earliest, we did a very early version of Kickstarter / crowdfunding, in that we had this champion uncle, Quentin, fantastic guy. We wrote out a business plan, and we proposed this idea where if he loaned us around $1,200 that we would pay him back under this kind of a schedule and this and that. And he was nice enough to loan us that money. We did, in fact, publish it, and we paid him back and a bit more since then. That was how we got our start. Completely self-started with a little bit of help from a great friend.
And then fast forward just a few years, in 1990, you've got a major motion picture on your hands. So you went from a comic that was self-published, that you guys were kind of, it started out as kind of a joke, and then you went forward and did it. And then you have a movie.
Yeah, you know, that was, to our surprise, literally throughout that entire journey from 1984, we quickly started selling more and more comic books, which was, you know, again, confoundingly, surprisingly wonderful for us, because that was our dream from, very young, that we dreamed we'd be Jack Kirby when we grew up and write and draw comic books for a living. And, you know, I think even our parents were afraid they would probably be those kids that never moved out of the basement kind
right.
of thing. But through the success of the comic book, it led to the interest from Hollywood and cartoon studios to make an animated show and develop a toy line, which, again, surprisingly worked, which is where you first discovered it.
Yeah.
You know, 4, 5, 6 years old, suddenly took this great shine and liking to our crazy creation. But one of the peaks in the very early years was the 1990 movie that Jim Henson built the costumes for and Steve Barron directed. And that was, you know, just, a surprise that we now conquered not only comic books and toys and cartoons, but to have a movie that had the resonance and the success and the believability and the fandom that it generated was something that, you know, we just could never have imagined ever.
I remember saving, I got like a 25 or 50 cents allowance, and I remember saving my allowance every week to get the Ninja Turtle van, which was $12.50 at Toys R Us, RIP. But I remember saving all, and then finally getting that, and just loving that. I don't even think I had the figure. Actually, you know what? I did. I had two Michelangelo, because my name's Michael, so obviously I liked Michelangelo, and I like partying and pizza, so that's the turtle I identified with most. And
I love it.
So I bought the first, you know, the little Michelangelo with the nunchuck, and the nunchucks always broke. I never knew one kid that had the nunchucks intact. And if I did find it was only a matter of time before they would break again.
The merchandise was amazing, though, and there was so much stuff.
Yeah. And half of it's still in my house.
It was, you know, half of it's still in your house?
Yeah, I still have a house full of Ninja Turtles stuff, so it's great.
Oh, I love it. No, but that was, you know, to us, it was, you know, and what we saw in Playmates, the toy company's wisdom was they really wanted these toys to be as fun as possible, but also affordable as possible. And you can't have, you know, high quality and affordability sometimes,
right,
as much as we'd all like. And I know that they wanted the play value and make them so that kids could essentially buy action figures and some of the accessories perhaps for with their allowance. But it was, I know this is the same thing. The first couple of times I tried to put the weapons in the hands and accidentally broke them and right. This and that. I'm like, oh, it picked me back to my G.I. Joes when I was a kid. You could never get G.I. Joe to quite hold that machine gun the way he was supposed to. It kept falling out and all that stuff. But we still played with them and loved them, and I still have all my G.I. Joes.
There you go. So I'm, and you know what? There's so much great Ninja Turtle merchandise out today, especially for like adult collectors that you can get. And the nunchucks don't break, so I buy all those and I have a 4-foot Michelangelo right by my desk at home, and you know, turtles crawling all over the house. So I'm a big fan. But you mentioned something interesting is that you guys did kind of do the first Kickstarter with the idea. You know, you didn't do the Ninja Turtles; they didn't exist. You had the idea today. I feel like it would be much harder. Then I think it was like the right place, right time type of situation, because it's much harder now because you would have to do a Kickstarter or something, and then you would go there. But just trying to get people to notice it, because there's so much noise and commotion now because of the internet, things get buried very easily. So it would have to be something that really, I don't know. It would be, I think it's just a lot more difficult now to become what it is. You know what I mean?
Oh, couldn't agree more. Just it's one of those things that, you know, if the world, like you said, has gotten louder or noisier or whatever you want to call it. But the fact that it's gotten so much smaller where, you know, you can have interests and fan bases from, you know, from manga to anime to dark, you know, things that global influences of character creations and pop culture, things that, you know, just to find your space and place in the world, even with a Kickstarter, I think it would be a small miracle. It was a miracle in itself for the time that it came out. And it was, in my opinion, very specifically right time, right place, right combination of so many things, so many impossible things that came together at exactly the right moment to make it work. And I just don't think that could ever be created again.
Yeah, it's lightning in a bottle.
Created in this day and age. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Star Wars, you know. It's like when Star Wars first came out, it was that age at that right time when, you know, George Lucas had this great idea, and I went to the theater, you know, and saw it 5 times, but it was just, you know, it had to happen when it happened. And so we, you know, count our blessings, you know, even to this day of, you know, we were just there with this goofy little idea when it was supposed to be out there, taken out there.
So now we fast forward to 2019, and now you are a writer for the comic books, correct?
One of the writers, yes.
One of the writers.
I saw my interest in the Turtles 15 years or so ago, and when Viacom bought the property back in 2010 and started developing, whether it be new animation or movies, they sold the rights to do the comic book to a company called IDW, which is a company I'd known those guys, and I've been friends with them for, you know, 100 years. They brought me in to consult on the new series and work with the incredible Tom Walsh in writing the episodes and issues. And we've now been doing it for this year is the 35th anniversary of the Turtles, but it's also the year that the IDW comic will publish issue 100. So we've been doing it for 9 years and 100 issues and having the time of our life.
I was going to say, you guys just introduced a new turtle.
Yes, we did. We had something we'd actually planned, Tom and I, back. And, you know, we figured if we got to issue 50, because we had some pretty broad strokes and say story arcs that we wanted to develop along this this whole adventure and opportunity, what we wanted to do. But it was one of those things that, you know, we figured if we get to issue 50, this is what we do between issue 50 and 100, pending opportunity from the fans to be able to do that. So so we planned for a girl turtle. We brought her into full realization in issue 95, and then she's going to be part of the important storyline that takes us right through issue 100.
Now, is she a teenager or like middle age?
She's one of the original Golden Girls. She's B. Arthur.
Oh,
transformed
sweet.
Into a mutant.
And, right. So she's a middle age mutant
right.
Turtle, which is cool. I like that.
Yeah, she was this wonderful character. Tom had an idea for around issue 50 for this female foot assassin character named Jenica. And we really loved her original creation, what we did with her as a character, and how to interact with Master Splinter and the group of Turtles and related characters themselves. So we just kept finding new ways to build out our family, including her, as each issue went on. So about issue 60 and 65, we really started wanting, you know, we really knew we wanted to keep her as part of the main group. And then that's where the seed was planted, where we said, you know, she would be somebody that could be transformed into, you know, these series of circumstances transformed into the female turtle. And she's, you know, because she already was part of the family.
Yeah.
It'd be a great thing to have, you know, add the group, the sister turtle. So she's a teenager and she's fits right in there.
I started reading the Batman versus, or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus Batman. I don't know if I'm saying it backwards or not, but I started reading those comics and because it's two of my favorite things, Batman and Ninja Turtles. So I thought that was a really cool crossover. Did you get to help with that at all? Or
Yes. No, that was fantastic. That was one of those, probably one of the biggest geek out fanboy moments on my part. When that idea evolved of that, you know, I mean, I've got probably countless drawings of Batman when I was, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old.
You and me both.
Yeah, just great character. And so when it really became a serious idea, we were lucky enough to, DC brought in this incredible writer named James Tinian, who did the original script. And then Freddie Williams, who I've gotten to know quite well, who did the artwork. And literally, before I jumped onto this call, I'm working on issue 6 of the third Batman Turtles crossover series.
Oh, perfect. Can you tell us what happens so we don't have to buy it? Or just tell us what happens at the end.
You buy it anyway.
It's a tragic accident. You know, one of Michelangelo knocks Batman off a building. He dies.
Now I have to buy it. Yeah. I just love the idea so much. It's so cool that you get to do that, you know, being a fan yourself and now getting to, you know, build this world with it.
It's fantastic. It is another one of those pinch yourself moments.
Yeah.
Really, such a pleasure to work on.
I just think it's so great that, you know, you guys came up with an idea, you committed to it without any people behind you, said, hey, we're going to do this. And look what happens. It becomes a pop culture phenomenon. So I guess if I was looking back and trying to learn something from your story, it would just be, hey, don't give up, right?
No, 100%. No, it was really, you know, it's because people said, well, what would you do if you created the Turtles? And my answer is always the same. It's like, I'd still be doing something in comic books. I loved it. It was something that was in my blood from a very young age, and I love the idea of writing, creating characters and telling my own stories with them. So it would definitely be something in comic books, but it was a dream that I never would have given up on anyway, and was just blessed that, you know, one of the earliest ideas I had became something so incredible, because it is, you know, you can't plan for it. You can't say, hey, I'm going to create the next Batman or the next Superman or the next Ninja Turtles. It's something that if you do it with passion and love and drive and determination, that's what, you know, it's the honesty and the passion behind it. That's going to make it work, but you got to stay in there and you got to fight and you got to keep trying.
And I know you know, you sold off your portion. You talked about that earlier of the Turtles, knowing what you know now, would, if you had to go back and do it again, would you have sold?
Well, it's the same thing is really, cause you can't predict, much like, you know, I could never have predicted, you know, what if I sold it, you know, the year before it became a toy, you know, for the first time, but it was not one of those things that, you know, life is full of those things that, you know, the path that we were lucky enough to walk and, the decisions that we make, you can never look back with
right.
any, you know, changes or regret or hindsight, because it is really, we're given what we're given. And you know, I made the decision I made along the way exactly
yeah.
where they, and when and where they needed to be made. And, but it's just one of the, you know, and it comes back, it's whether it be comic or just the way things are, even though I sold my rights in them, I spent more time on Turtles. I spent more time on Turtles in the last 10 years than I spent in the previous 10. It was,
right.
You know, and that was when I owned them. And I'm just, you know, I think, I feel like I'm, and it may sound a little weird, but it's like, I feel like I'm luckier now in that I don't have the you don't have the headaches and, you know,
right. You don't have the stress.
I don't have to deal with the business side.
Right. Right. You get to deal with the creative side, which is what you wanted to do to begin with. Right. You weren't doing this to make tons of money. You just did this because you liked the story and you wanted to create something. And now you get to do that. So I love that. I really do.
You really hit the nail on the head. That's exactly right.
I'm really excited about this little mini arcade that's coming out with the new Ninja Turtle with the it's 1UP arcade, I think. And I'm going to put, I don't even know where I'm going to put it. I don't have enough space in my house, but I'm going to buy it because my favorite arcade of all time was the Ninja Turtles. And it's a 4-player thing. I'm very excited about that. So you have a lot of Ninja Turtle memorabilia in your house, right? You have to.
I do. You know, it's something that, you know, for many years I saved. I try to keep one of everything for a long time. Then after a while, it was one of those things that it's...
You have to have a whole other house for that.
Yeah, does your wife get upset? Like, Kevin, do you really need 15,000 of these? Like, can you just put some of these in the attic? Like, what happens with that?
Well, she's worse than I am. Oh, so she's... She loves the stuff as well. You add into that, you know, get the Game of Thrones collection of toys. And Walking Dead. She took all my Walking Dead figures, and they became her Walking Dead figures and all her stuff. But no, it's a passion for all that collecting, all things awesome and geeky that we love so much. And a house pretty much from top to bottom is a cross between a massive comic book store and a toy store, because we have bookshelves in every room and toys and things. You know, people come into our house and go, "What the heck did I just walk into?" But is it Comic Con we love it. We really cherish all that stuff because it's so many memories come along with it. That's a wonderful thing.
One last question: who is your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Either Raffaello, Donato, or Picasso.
One of those guys, right? I mean, I know at this point they're kind of like your kids, right? You might get the answer, well, they're all like my kids. I can't, you know, whatever. But every parent loves one kid more than the other, right? So which one do you identify with?
No, great. Again, you need a perfect assessment because it is, they are very much like our kids. But I would choose, you know, and it's one of them. But I get really pushed and I go, well, if you had to choose one, which would it be? And I always feel like Michelangelo, the one with the nunchucks, was the first one that was drawn.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He'd be first.
Yeah.
So he'd be first one. You know, it's like he had nunchucks, feathers on, and the mask on. So I feel like, you know, before he was named Michelangelo, it was the one with the nunchucks. So I feel like if I have to choose one, I'll choose firstborn, and that would be Michelangelo.
And that's my favorite. Okay. So we can kill off the rest. Yeah. That's issue number 15, by the way, of Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies except for Michael. He goes postal and kills everybody. But he still parties. I just want a little bit of a credit for that in the back of the book somewhere. Just put an asterisk. Thank you, Mike Zavala, for this story or whatever. That's all I need. And I'll be happy. My life will be made.
When Viacom and DC's lawyers start calling, I'll give you a phone number.
Yeah, that's right. Just give them. I'll handle it. I'll take care of that.
You take care of that.
Kevin, thank you so much for 30 plus years of Turtles. They've made my childhood and my adulthood. I haven't got rid of that, my love of Turtles, and I do appreciate it. It's meant a lot to me, and I know I speak for a lot of people as well.
Well, I tell you that, you know, I always flip it back on you guys, because I would not have the greatest job in the universe without the greatest fans in the universe, and the fact that before I was talking to you just a few minutes ago, I was drawing Turtles and drawing, you know, drawing, and that was my childhood passion. I get to do that because of you guys and everybody listening. So I really appreciate the support. It's made my dream true, and I'm grateful.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Oh, thank you, man. Thanks for your support again, and we'll hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.